on the people. Dancing on the people like I.
Everybody in the booth can tell myself.
SMQBs, episode 192. Rooster, who are you bringing to a bar this week?
I am going to bring Andrew Luck to the bar. I've been fascinated by his retirement at age, I guess it was 5 years ago. So he was 30 years old and he retired on top of his game. And I just really never understood why, because he came back from injury and was great again. But I just read that he's now the GM of the Stanford Cardinal.
Whatever that means.
I guess they have GMs now? They have GMs.
When college teams have GMs?
I think they have an athletic director for the whole school and a GM for the football team.
Well, since when do college teams have payroll?
Well, that's why they have GM. They do.
You got to run the NIL and transfer portal and all that.
But I'd just be curious to know. I'm sure it's a dream job for him going back to his alma mater and all that. But I'd just be curious to know how badly beaten up he must have been to walk away when he did.
Well, there was an interesting podcast I listened to one time on that. And it just said that he was just in constant pain. Just like agony all the time. So anyway, all right, Milk, who are you bringing?
Well, I've been told that I'm not a homer enough, like you guys are on this pod. I'm going to be a homer and bring this guy behind me, the next great NFL running back, Bucky Irving.
Hey.
Get to know
him. Rooster, we called it here, baby.
Rooster called it. This guy is phenomenal. He basically won us the game yesterday against a very shitty Panthers team. 152 yards rushing. Interesting stat on him. He has 256 yards rushing after being hit behind the line of scrimmage. That's second behind one person, Saquon Barkley, at 257 yards. So,
wow, he's got more than King Henry at that.
Watch out for Bucky next year, top two
fantasy. Bucky.
All right. Hope, what about you?
Yeah.
I'm going homer.
Big surprise.
Big game. Biggest game SMU's had since Pony Express in the early 80s. Wait a minute,
how many times have you said that this year?
Well, it keeps getting bigger.
So if this is now the biggest game.
That's a good sign for SMU.
If they win this game, then the quarterfinals New Year's Eve or New Year's Day will be the biggest game since the Cotton Bowl when they were undefeated back in 81. So anyway, I'm bringing Rhett Lashley to the bar because what a job performance he's done on getting SMU all the way to the ACC championship game, undefeated in the ACC with one blemish on the record against BYU. And I want to talk to him about his strategy against the Fighting Dabos of Clemson and how we're going to take their ass out in Charlotte, because it's going to be a hostile crowd. I can't believe Clemson backed into this game, even though they lost. It wasn't an ACC game they lost on Saturday. So SMU, you know, they have a core support group, but it's not that many. So they're going to be outnumbered about, 95% to 5%. So I want to hear what the game plan is, but I also want to give him all my support and say that I think he's got this.
All your support.
It's been there for two decades. All of his non-Alabama allocated support. Fair enough.
We'll talk about that later.
I'm bringing Justin Tucker to the bar because he needs a drink.
He's been calling for his release.
Yeah,
he needs a drink.
I'm going to have to release him from my fantasy team.
This guy was the preeminent kicker in the NFL. For, I don't know, 3-4 seasons, right? I mean, he was automatic from anything under 59 yards. And if you kept it under 65, he had a pretty good chance of making it. And man, he's missing everything. He can't hit water falling out of a boat at this point. He's so bad. And so I just want to sit him down, let him have a drink. Maybe he's got to get something off his chest because he is a troubled man right now. And the Ravens, man, that's, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I thought they were a Super Bowl contender. You're not a Super Bowl contender if you can't make extra points.
When you give up 9 points in the kicking game, it's tough to win.
Yep. So that's a big problem for them. All right. Well, let's get into NFL Week 13. Rooster, you want to get us rolling here?
Yeah. You know, the thing that struck me about Week 13 was there were 9 games that just came right down to the wire. In fact, the average point differential for these 9 games was 3.1 points. And it seemed like the better team just squeaked it out, you know, ever so slightly. I'm just going to run this down. Minnesota 23, Arizona 22, Houston 23, Jacksonville 20, Indianapolis 25, New England 24. Chargers 17, Falcons 13, Steelers 44, Bengals 38, Seattle 26, Jets 21, Tampa Bay 26, Carolina 23, Kansas City 19, Vegas 17, and Detroit 23, Chicago 20. Like I said, average, it's 33.1 points. That's just crazy. But, you know, the good teams, like we always say, good teams find a way to win, and each one of these teams that won was probably predicted to win those games, but by a lot more. It was just interesting to see how close these games are getting towards the end of the year. 9 out of the games.
The premium on field goal kickers.
Exactly. You can't afford to miss a couple extra points in a game like that.
And Rooster, the corollary to the good teams finding a way to win is the bad teams finding a way to lose. Can we talk about Chicago? I mean, that is one of the worst. Last 30 seconds.
36, 32 seconds, something like that.
How does that happen? Now, our little fellow friend who's not here with us, House, he believes that Caleb is special. I've seen him type that about 100 times. He is special. I don't know what that means because he didn't look very special running that 2-minute drill in that game. At least he didn't, not for the last 36 seconds of it. And I know the coach got fired and, you know,
he claims that he did not have the authority to call the timeout, that it was a, you know, as a rookie.
He could have spiked the ball too. I mean, there was lots of ways, or take the snap and fire it out of bounds. Right. But I mean, that the last 30 plus seconds were just, I mean, staggering. I still don't have the words for it watching that.
It was just painful. But nonetheless, he threw a beautiful pass that would have won the game if Roma Dunze had a run out that pattern.
Oh, on the last play of the game?
Yeah, I think he gave up on the ball. He needed to be run towards the you know, a flag pattern. He needed to be run towards the corner of the end
zone. Yeah, but he was never going to score a touchdown. They had a guy behind him going to keep him out of the end zone. That was the last play.
Yeah. Well, anyway, okay, so what other games do we want to talk about?
Well, how about The Raiders almost, you know what? The Raiders. I was rooting for hard for the Raiders because there are 3 teams that are 2-6, or I mean, 2-win teams.
Are we buying the explanation by the NFL of why that was not illegal? You know, not an offsides versus an illegal shift, which totally deprived them of their the rest of the game. Because they were running in saying it was illegal procedure, and then they changed it to an illegal shift, which meant that the clock was running and the game was over.
Tell the listeners what you're talking about. Which team got called for this?
So the Raiders were in field goal range, and they had all 11 guys basically were off the page as far as the snap count. The snap was made, and you know, quarterback's not ready. The side judge comes running in and he's doing this like a legal procedure, which is a dead ball penalty. And it's a 5-yard penalty and the play doesn't go forward. So the fumbled snap, which the Chiefs recovered, should not have counted. But what happened was that during the timeout and what all that, the refs got together and they said instead it was an illegal shift. And because it was an illegal shift, the play continues. And therefore, the recovery by the Chiefs was done, and the game was over. So
I got an idea.
Let's call there's Chiefs rule.
There's been all year a discussion about whether the Chiefs tend to get these calls when it matters. Well, it matters because they're 11-1 and they should have lost maybe four or five games.
Well, I've got an idea on this. How about you don't make a bad snap or your quarterback is ready for the snap? How about you run your fucking drill the right way and act like a real team?
Yeah.
There's a reason you have 2 wins.
They could have done that.
I mean, you know, look, you're right. Look, we've always said, you know, in every sport, good teams get the calls, right? Jordan always got the calls, right? Because he was Michael Jordan. Don't be a bad fucking team and snap the ball when the quarterback's not ready. I don't know. No sympathy.
I still think the Chiefs are a weak 11-1.
Very weak.
Beyond weak.
Well,
I mean, does anyone see that team going anywhere in the playoffs?
Well, we've said that before, and they win the damn Super Bowl.
I'm sorry. I've seen enough. Like, they were not having a season like this in prior years. I mean, it's disgusting. They barely beat the Panthers the week before.
Yeah.
Let's see what they do against the Steelers. Isn't that their next game?
Chargers. And I might be taking the Chargers in my...
Yeah, look at that. That line was interesting.
What was the other game? We may be coming back to that later.
As each week goes by, though, Pacheco is healthier. And that guy ran like an animal during
the Eagles
last year.
And he looked good. He looked pretty good in that game.
I thought this week also two teams firmly established themselves as either the number one or two team in their conference. I think the Eagles pulled even with the Lions with that performance against Baltimore, 24-19 over Baltimore. And Buffalo in the snow kicked the snot out of the 49ers. Those two, I'm sure people are going to argue Kansas City over Buffalo. Right now, I take Buffalo.
Not me.
Yeah.
Every day over Kansas City. And I think I'd take Philadelphia over the Lions based on experience.
Yeah.
Well, but don't forget, Detroit was in the championship game last year and
should have won
for a half. They should have won, right? After one half, it looked like they're on their way. Mm-hmm. So, I think it's close, but I agree with you, Rooster, in general, that the Eagles look pretty damn tough.
It's amazing I know we talk about this every week, but what Saquon has done for this team it's really incredible. Because if you look at, Jalen had a really good game. His stat line was nothing to brag about, but he doesn't have to do that much. Nope. Like, he just has to game manage. He threw
drive the bus.
A great touchdown pass. But
so wait, Milt, are you saying Jalen is just a game manager?
I'm saying
just a guy
that he throws for about 120 yards a game, it seems like. But why? You don't have to when your running back is going to run for 100 to 200 per game and two touchdowns.
And Jalen's also a running threat. I think
he's also got the ability to throw for 300 a game. And it's a credit to him that he's not such a fucking head case.
He doesn't have to do anything.
He can coexist with the legend like this.
Yeah. No, I mean, look, they scare me.
Like, they're good.
And their defense is becoming better by the week.
Right. By the way, we skipped over one thing when we talked about Buffalo and the Niners. Did you all see that McCaffrey likely had a season-ending knee injury?
He's out. Yeah.
In that
people
game.
People are saying, why did they play him in that game? I mean, what do you guys think of that? They have to win games.
Why did you not play him? He played the week before.
He's ideal running back.
They have no margin of error. They have to win out, and that leads me to my overall point on the NFL is so interesting. It's week 13, and I think we are really close to calling the 7 playoff teams in each conference and be exactly right.
Right.
I mean, the separation between the wildcard contenders, this week especially. I mean, you got in the AFC, you got the Broncos at 7-5. They're holding the last seed. And the next closest is Colts at 6-7 and Dolphins at 5-7. I mean, they're not going to catch the Broncos. And the NFC, the Commanders are 8-5. And they got the 7th seed, and the next closest is Tampa Bay or Atlanta at 6-6, the loser of that division, and then Arizona at 6-6. I think, despite what Jerry World is all fired up, we could win out. Washington is going to be in there at a minimum at 8-5. They're going to win two more games.
We're fortunate that our
and look at your schedule.
Our last games are New Orleans, Atlanta, Dallas, and the Eagles are in there. So I mean,
you're going to win two games.
Yeah,
you get to 10 wins, you're in the playoffs.
Washington and Green Bay are two playoff hopefuls that really flex their muscles this week. I mean, Washington put up 42 points against Tennessee. Green Bay is 30, Miami 17, and Miami with Tua has been playing really well last couple of weeks.
Yeah,
both teams look great.
And Washington's just getting their bye this week, so they're going to come down the stretch pretty fresh. Yeah, they got the week off.
I don't have Daniels on Sunday.
No, you don't. No, you don't. Can we talk about, speaking of Tua, a guy who took a hit and looked like Tua, Trevor Lawrence, man, if you haven't seen that hit, I kind of want to say you should go watch it, but there's also part of me that says, don't watch it. Look away.
Terrible.
I couldn't watch it.
Brutal hit.
Do we have an update on his condition today?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I haven't heard anything yet.
Yeah, I haven't either. He clearly had a brain injury similar to the one Tua suffered two seasons ago, though.
Yeah.
Based on the fingers.
Yeah.
Hand movements after he got hit.
And dirty play, right?
Yeah, I think if Aziz Al-Shaair hadn't apologized, he would have been number one candidate for a punch this week.
Yeah. I mean, the game happens really, really fast. Yeah. I mean, really fast. But
he was clearly down.
He was
slid feet first. The rule is set up so that as soon as you see a quarterback going into the slide motion, you pull up. Everybody knows that. He was in the slide, and this guy
took his forearm and just drove.
He deserves whatever punishment is coming. But I appreciate.
Did he get ejected? He got ejected, right?
Yeah, he got ejected. He's going to get suspended.
He probably should.
Yeah.
Yeah, he should.
I think he has a reputation as a dirty hitter, too.
Do you? I hadn't heard that. Getting back to CMC, if you have one of the top five picks in your fantasy draft next year, are you taking him? Now that he's had Achilles and now multiple knee injuries?
Well, depending on how bad this is, when is he going to even be back for the beginning of the season next year?
Right. And by the way, if you're think about the position the 49ers are in right now. Like, what are you going to do with Brock Purdy? Every year they're like, I don't know, maybe we can give him one more year to prove himself. That team that was in the Super Bowl last year seems to be fading.
They're not going to make the playoffs, clearly.
Make the playoffs, and their future looks a little bleak to me. I don't know.
Put a lot of dough into Ayuk, who just became down average as soon as he got his money. And then got hurt.
Yeah, and then he got hurt. So
there's a question for you.
Yeah.
Who's the next coach of the Chicago Bears?
I think it's Mace's boy. Right? Maybe
Kingsbury.
No.
Coach Bro.
No way.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't either. I think it's going to be an established, authoritative guy like Mike Vrabel.
Yeah, well, as long as Vrabel's out there, he's going to be top consideration for any team because he's a damn good coach, and you're seeing it play out before your eyes because Tennessee is just bad. I mean, bad in every aspect of the game. I don't think Cliff goes... Look, I know it's really hard when you get an opportunity to be a head coach. It's hard to say no, but he already failed once at it.
Right.
And I think he stepped away from the game. The whole thing going to USC kind of fell in his lap, and he did it. And he really was trying to find himself. This is all the reporting I've heard. I don't think he's going to take another head coaching job until he feels like he's really ready for it. And they've got a good thing going in Washington where he's probably learning a lot from Dan Quinn right now.
Coordinator for the Lions did. Declined head coaching offers and just keep getting better at his craft. Because, as we talked about most of this year, Kingsbury was not a good head coach, but he's a damn good offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
But don't they need an offensive coach? It reminds me of like a,
they need Bryce somebody Young. You can work with.
Caleb, they need Williams. To do what Washington did.
Like they need Dave Canales.
OC Bryce as Young good situation. As Kingsbury.
But that's why I'm saying, that's why I don't think they'll go with, what's his name? The, who'd y'all say first?
Vrabel.
Isn't he a defensive
He'll
back?
Be the head coach, and he needs a damn good offensive coordinator who can deal with quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Let me ask you this. I think there are at least four more coaches who are going to get fired this season.
During the season or at the end of the season?
By the end of the season, like right after the season, I think Antonio Black Pierce, Monday, Jared Mayo, Zach Taylor, and Doug Peterson are all gone.
How about McCarthy?
Everybody says but he just keeps hanging on, right?
I think Jerry fantasizes over Belichick. So
Antonio Pierce for the Raiders, Jared Mayo for the Patriots, in way of what I said, Zach Taylor of the Bengals, and Doug Peterson on the Jags.
Who's the Browns coach?
Stefanik,
maybe? Yeah,
he may have to go too.
Well,
I'm surprised about Mayo. You think he's one and done?
I just think that the Patriots fans are calling for his head and have been most.
But he's got a new quarterback though.
Yeah. They've lost some really close games.
That's part of their complaint though. But he has a quarterback who's damn good. I mean, whenever Drake May drops back, he's hitting like 9+ yard passes. Yeah. Per attempt, and he'll do 2 or 3 of those in a row, and then Mayo will call like 10 runs in a row, and they have a mediocre run game. It just there's no creativity to the offense.
Well, I'm gonna add another name to that list, it's dependent on the playoffs how it goes, but if Sirianni's one and done in the playoffs, he's gone.
No, I totally. He's for sure.
He's done.
I don't get why they don't fire him now. I mean, they have 2 losses. Just can his ass.
Well,
House's anger towards him is starting to frustrate me. By the way,
it is so irrational.
I can't stand watching him though. I mean, his antics on the sideline and stuff. Yeah. I mean, he just strikes me as a total buffoon.
I think, but you're right. If it's a Bucks first round loss kind of thing, like happened last year, I think he goes.
Yeah, he's gone
for sure.
I mean, they're probably going to be the 2 seed. They're probably going to host the Commander.
They're definitely going to be the 2 seed.
Oh well, that would be fun.
That would be awesome. Yeah, I would throw
violence.
Put Todd Bowles in your list, Rooster.
You've been saying that for 3 years.
No, I mean it this time. He is gone if they don't make the playoffs for 100% sure. And I think if they don't go deep into the playoffs, he's gone.
Milk, all right, because I think they want Milk. I have a question for you. To take off your Homer hat for a second and be the head coach and GM of the Atlanta Falcons. Would you start Penix for the rest of the season?
No.
No.
Why not? Kirk Cousins is washed.
You haven't lost your season yet.
He's done.
Right. You're gonna give up? You're gonna throw in a rookie?
I
think you'd be better off with Penix.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's giving up. That might be saving the season.
You're tied. You're tied for the lead in the division.
I think you've seen
Kirk Cousins throw a football recently?
I love it. Trust me.
It'd be like one of us throwing with our non-dominant hand.
Did you hear the stat? I'm lifting this from fellow podcaster Bill Simmons. But did you hear them talking about Cousins didn't throw a ball more than 36 miles an hour?
I didn't hear that, which is next to impossible.
Right. Like, think about it. Like, I mean, that's really not one throw over 36 miles an hour.
The fact that they can actually register that's amazing to me.
And he leads the league in interceptions. And isn't Atlanta a dome?
And it is.
So yeah. How do you throw 36 mile an hour and slower footballs on your home field?
The fact that he beat us twice and threw like 8 touchdowns in those games is...
But something's happened since then. He's a different player altogether.
Do you know what the average? Do you know what the average speed is of an NFL throw?
50 something.
What?
60 miles an hour.
So wow. He's
almost like 50%.
Is he injured?
Yeah, I mean, it's the combine average ranges were 49 to 62 miles per hour in 2023. So, by the way, you know, 55 to 60 miles per hour is average.
They go to Minnesota this weekend too. Watch out.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It could get bad for him. Real bad. Although, right. I guess that's a
final. Penix is damn good.
Final NFL question for you guys. Are we seeing a Super Bowl preview on Sunday? Bills Lions.
Could be.
Well, as good a possibility as anything, right?
That's a great game. My God. When is that? What time is that game?
Sunday afternoon.
Where
Sunday
is it?
Afternoon. Wow.
At Ford Field in Detroit.
No. What? Bills are playing the Rams.
Yeah,
that's not right. You got Green Bay, Detroit Thursday night.
Yeah. Packers Lions Thursday.
Did I move? I went ahead a week.
Maybe you went ahead a week.
Yeah, you're a week ahead.
I'm a week ahead. Sorry.
Yep.
Well,
so we'll get back to you. We'll get back to you next week.
Same question next week. They're both going to win.
All right.
Yeah.
We finished with week 13.
That was it. Yeah.
Let's move on to the Plaxico locks, baby. As things currently stand, Milk has jumped up into second place. I'm in first place at 9-4. Milk is 8-4-1. House and Pope are tied at 8-5 for third place.
Wow.
And Bison, sorry, buddy, 4-9.
Did I lose again?
You lost again, man.
Yeah,
I think the Bucks. The Bucks screwed you.
You suck.
Yeah. I think he's been officially eliminated from
you
TV.
Had the Bucks minus 6 over Carolina, and they won by 3.
I did have a good bet on Thursday, though.
But with a
Dallas defensive touchdown and Dallas covering.
No.
Yeah. We need your parlay this week, man.
Yeah, I got one.
Got you there.
The good news is we were 4 out of 5 in the win column last week. We had a good week.
What's our overall record? Do you have that?
I don't know the overall record, but it's a winning record because the last time House posted this segment a couple of weeks ago, it was a winning record, and we've kind of broke even last week, and this week we were 4 out of 5. So still a good record. So we're going to reverse things up thanks to cousin Justin's input. And Bison, you are up. You're on the clock.
Yeah, I don't like any of them. 14. I mean, clearly, I don't know anything. But so I'm going to take Minnesota giving 4.5.
Okay.
To the Falcons.
Okay.
This week was kind of hard, by the way. There's a lot of tough bets here.
They're all hard weeks, Milk. They're all hard weeks. Yeah.
Oh, you're
I've got the Lions, giving 3.5 at home against the Packers. I will take the Lions.
They won at Green Bay.
House took the Bears +4 against San Francisco.
He loves Caleb.
God, he loves Caleb.
Yep.
Oh,
no. San Francisco is back to the wall.
No. Do you think he wears a Caleb T-shirt underneath one of his 32 Eagles jerseys every Sunday?
Yes, he might. He'd love Caleb to go to Philly.
Yeah.
I am taking foreshadowing my comments earlier. I'm not buying into the Chiefs at all. I'll take the Chargers -4.
Oh,
Chargers
+4. Excuse me.
Yeah.
I'll take that. I think it'll be a close game.
Okay. Wow. Surprising. Left a lot of stuff wide open. I I'm like all in on the tank here. In fact, I'm such a homer that when I first saw Trevor Lawrence go down with that concussion, I'm like, damn it, they only have two wins and now they might need a quarterback. Wow. So I'm going New Orleans minus 4.5 against the Giants.
Okay.
All right.
Giants All right. look better with Drew Luck.
Bullshit.
I think you might have your quarterback there, Rooster.
Be careful.
Might be all set.
Be careful.
All right, I got a parlay for us.
All right, let's hear it.
All right. We've got the Chargers plus 4.
Okay.
With an under 41.5 in the Browns Broncos.
Can you bet this week and next week?
What? Is that next week?
No, the Browns is tonight, right? No, what game?
Yeah. Browns versus Broncos.
Is that tonight's game or next week?
That's tonight's game.
Well, you can make that bet.
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah.
a okay, fair bet.
Sure.
All right. Yeah. That's a fair parlay. That's available.
Okay. Where is it?
Plus 264 on that. So $25 gets you, close to 100.
Okay. Under Browns, Chargers plus 4.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Locking it in. All
right.
41.5.
All right. We got anything else on the NFL? Hope, let's talk a little college football. I think the games take a back seat to everything else that happened this weekend. So let's spend time on the games, but let's really talk about the fun shit.
Well, rivalry week definitely lived up to its billing and turned into basically fight night. And seeing who could plant their flag on whose logo decal in the middle of the stadium. It got out of hand. It really started with Ohio State, Michigan. Inexplicably, Ryan Day cannot beat Michigan, and that could be his Achilles downfall. But again, Ohio State, heavily favored, unranked Michigan, came in and beat them. And
unbelievable.
Yeah. And obviously, Michigan didn't have much to play for this year after being so bad, but that was a big win. So they take their Michigan flag and they go out and plant it on the Buckeye decal in the middle of the stadium, on the 50. And obviously the Ohio State players took exception to that. Jack Sawyer, their captain, ripped the flag out of somebody's hands, tried to run away with it. A melee ensued. Ultimately, the cops ended up pepper spraying some Michigan players. And it just a really, really bad look.
Interesting. None of the Ohio State players got pepper sprayed.
Right.
Well, the Columbus police, what do you expect?
Yeah, exactly. Michigan
players did.
Shortly after that, you had North Carolina, North Carolina State with a similar situation where NC State won in the last minute, took their flag.
No one was watching.
Tried to bury it.
And again, nobody cared about outside of North Carolina.
Well, my wife was watching it on the plane, and I actually saw a side eye.
Was the only one.
Alabama, Auburn. But anyway, another fight because of the flag. Arizona State, Arizona. Probably the funniest one because the mascots, got into a fight, and I'm not convinced nerd wasn't linked behind the mascot there. And then Notre Dame USC, I didn't see the whole thing other than I saw the punch that the Notre Dame lineman did to the USC guy in the helmet, just like he's coming off the top rope. Alabama, Auburn, obviously they hate each other. There was a lot of skirmishes on the sidelines. Arkansas, Mizzou, that's a big rivalry, I guess. So, another fight after the game. So, to do a recap real quick though, where are we going after rivalry week? The college football playoffs, they have their next to last ranking coming out tomorrow. My guess is it's going to be Oregon, Texas, Penn State, Notre Dame, Georgia, Tennessee, Ohio State, SMU, Indiana, Boise State. And then, yes, Alabama sneaking in at 11.
Jesus
and,
Christ.
For right now, University of Southern South Carolina will be 12, but they're not going to get it because there will be a Big 12 team, which is probably Arizona State, that'll steal that 12th bid because they'll be conference champion. And if you had to do it now, the buys would be Oregon, Texas, SMU, and Boise State. The big question now is going to be, if SMU loses to Clemson, what happens? And you want to talk about a dilemma for the Pope man. It might benefit Alabama if SMU loses to Clemson. Because head-to-head, I think Alabama would get the nod over SMU.
Who are you rooting for in that game? SMU, Clemson.
Well, I'm rooting for SMU. That's no brainer.
I cannot believe.
I'm just saying that
get back in. I can't believe
there's a potential dilemma. And
so,
but if SMU beats Clemson, then that knocks. There's not a bid stealer. So Alabama, unless Miami gets ranked ahead of them, which Miami sucks.
Well, I got to tell you. So Pope, I'm looking at a different playoff picture, and this is from the NCAA website.
Okay.
And I don't know.
Pope's in line with the AP top 25 rankings.
All right. Well, this is the college bracket. Let's see. It says using the top 25 rankings from last Tuesday. So I guess
it's yesterday.
From the November 26th.
Well, that's irrelevant right now.
Well, okay. But what it has is Oregon 1, Texas 2.
Probably Miami 3.
Miami 3. Yeah. Boise 4.
They're out.
So. Anyway, yeah, I don't know. It has Alabama as the second team out.
Yeah, but
before Miami lost, and
yeah.
So, you know, the big question is, how far does Ohio State fall? And are they going to fall out of hosting a first round game? They might.
So on this point though, there was one other skirmish. And it wasn't between players, but it was between coaches. Although a couple
of them. I forgot about. I didn't write it down because I was going to leave that to Milk.
No, we got to talk about the Twerps and Penn State because it goes to this ranking thing a little bit, right? So Penn State had their third and fourth guys in, and they scored a touchdown, and Maryland coach didn't care for it and kind of told Franklin what he thought about it during the handshake. And then Franklin, you know, at the post game said, our job is to win. I got my third and fourth guys in there. They've got their first guys in there, and we're trying to get a seeding and get a home game.
Not to mention that those third and fourth stringers have been busting their ass in practice all year, and they finally get in their game. They should play as hard as they want.
Yeah. You're never going to hear me say a good thing about Maryland. So I'm all for James Franklin here.
Hey, Pope. The
non-issue.
The flag planting thing reminds me of the time T.O. on the night,
yeah.
I think it was, tried to do a dance on the star.
Yeah.
And got taken out by
leveled
by one of the Cowboys. For the point being, if you pull something like that, you're asking to get your ass kicked. That's just too provocative. You shouldn't do that.
So what do you guys think about the fighting? I mean, you know,
if you go plant your flag on your opposing team's 50-yard line, you should expect to have somebody take you out.
Yeah.
Period.
I agree.
The opposing coach taking you out?
Don't do it.
Milk, we forgot about you guys.
No, I mean, if you go and plant the flag, you got to be ready for a major brawl to ensue. Norvell pissed me off because, first of all, those assholes, where do you draw the line? Because last year when they beat Florida in Gainesville, they were very happy. They were in the end zone, all the seniors, scooping out the field to take home with them for a souvenir. Is that cool?
No. Like,
what can you, but he's so high and mighty about it. How dare they do that on our field? Last year he's like, go and rip up their Florida's field. There's a little bit of hypocrisy here, but
a bit.
Okay. No.
Overall,
college football.
Yeah, right. I mean, the planting of the stake into the middle of the field should stop. I mean, like, that's just causing.
I got to tell you,
but I don't know where to draw the line.
I know House disagree with me on this, but I like that these rivalry games have some spice to them. I mean, I like that these guys go out there and plant the flag and then somebody comes and rightfully tries to kick their ass. I don't know. I kind of like it. Let's have a little, you know, got a little saltiness in these rivalries, right?
But the problem is it's okay. I'm fine with the players reacting that way to planting of the flag. My problem is it's become like premeditated behavior by the fans.
Oh yeah, that's stupid.
Fans are fucking idiots.
The fans are idiots. I'm talking about the players.
Well, I don't know if you guys saw it, but Sark prevented the Texas guys from doing the same thing at A&M because we don't know how the A&M people would have reacted.
There's a lot of guns down there.
Yeah, a lot of guns, swords. You know, I mean, they went after SMU cheerleaders for getting on the field when I was in school. So you never know what those Aggies are going to do, but love seeing them get their ass whooped.
You've got to have the head coaches have to be, I mean, Napier, I'm sure he did not know that was going to happen. Cause I could tell by his reaction. I mean, he went nuts after those players broke it up. Meanwhile, you see Day, who's literally standing fucking clueless, does nothing. He's just standing there like, oh, I guess there's a brawl in.
So he's watching his life passing by, having lost to Michigan four times in a row.
Yeah.
Totally. I mean, that's a fireable offense, and he knows it.
Yeah.
When your head coach starts saying that the rivalry game is the worst thing to happen in your life, other than like someone dying or what, I can't remember what his quote was. It's time to move on.
Yeah.
So you need to resign or you're going to get fired. Like, it's no longer working. No, he just looked absolutely like clueless. That's probably the last Michigan Ohio State game he coaches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, unless they make a run in the playoffs, but they really put
themselves. They're not making a run. They're not fucking beating anyone. Yeah. I did enjoy, by the way, Ohio State's quarterback from last year, Kyle McCord, beating Miami in Syracuse.
Yes.
Throwing like three touchdowns, which was a good irony of it all, because Will Howard for Ohio State looked terrible.
That Miami losing at Syracuse really kind of changed the
whole place to play, man.
Of the college football playoffs.
Yeah.
Things happen in that dome.
So we're left with the championship games this week. You know, Georgia, Texas is probably the showcase of that. Oregon, Penn State, though, that's going to, you know, do you buy Penn State? I don't know. But that could be a good game. Clemson, SMU's are going to be really interesting because I never would have thought beginning of the year SMU could stand up to Clemson. And now SMU is favored by 2.5.
That's the only one that's an elimination game.
At
right?
Charlotte. If you assume that SMU loses, they are out. Yes, it is an elimination game. Yeah. But I think that's a big assumption. And again, it'll be very disturbing.
Depends on where they rank them.
Yeah. It'll be disturbing for me if that analysis is SMU versus Alabama. But hopefully that will come to
fruition. Tulane at West Point will be a good game.
Yeah, although there's really nothing. There's no writing on that. My dream is SMU to play Alabama in the playoff. I think that's all of our dreams.
All of our dreams.
That would be too delicious.
It could happen.
God, that would.
And you will have to declare. You will have to declare.
That would be I may just go dark like House.
He's going to do like he did when the Rangers and the Braves were good in the same season, and go out and get a hat that has both teams on it.
Yeah,
you know what you did? A hat or was it a shirt?
No, I don't hat. No,
I looked at it. It's not even a. It's like
he's debatable. He's not even pushing
he
back.
SMU. It's debatable.
He's not even pushing back though. He knows this is trouble for him.
I don't have to declare until I have to declare. How about that?
That's true.
That's true.
You might turn against his alma mater. Fucking amazing.
Hey, listen. It might not be the right week for this, but anybody have a punchable face? Call it a comeback.
I do. Yes. Anyone else? Go ahead, Pope. We haven't heard from you in a couple of weeks.
I'm going to punch the F1 race director. I don't know if you guys saw the race yesterday, but Weiss and nodding, but yes. I mean, so to paint the picture for our listeners, the wing mirror of, was it Ocon or Albon? Who was it who lost?
I don't remember.
Flies off, and it's not in the middle, but it's pretty close to being in the middle of the straightaway, where if there's going to be any passing, that's where it's going to be. And it's right off the pit lane. And, you know, the Crofty and Brindle, they're talking for like four laps. They're like, we don't know when the safety car, but you can't just leave it out there. I mean, that's debris that could cause problems. And they just let him go around and around and around, and they don't do anything about it. And then Bottas is making a move and, you know, doesn't see it and runs right over it. All the debris flies everywhere. The next car's up, Hamilton and Sainz both get punctures, and they're both out of the race eventually because of those punctures. I mean, completely avoidable, ridiculous. They should have had a safety car immediately, got rid of the debris, and that wouldn't have happened. But the other punch, double punch, is for the penalty to Lando. I still don't understand how you can have a 10-second start-and-go penalty for allegedly not slowing down on the straightaway with a double yellow. So he didn't, but it shouldn't have been. I mean, that is a severe penalty. That's like almost a race penalty, because Lando was in second, had to leave the race for 10 seconds. Starting goes like a 30-second penalty, and he eventually finished
10. I agree with
but
you.
But that cost they could McLaren.
They could fix that so easily by just saying to him on the radio, you have gained 50 yards by not slowing down in a timely fashion. You need to back off another 50 yards before we resume this race. And then everything's fine. Everything's back to status quo.
Right. Because of the safety cars, they were all bunched up. So 10 seconds was going to cost him at least 11 or 12 spots. And then when you add on top of it, he has to wait, stop and go in the pit lane. I saw F1's explanations. I don't buy them. I think they totally fucked that race up.
Mm-hmm.
And but, by the way, it's the race director's second race as race director, right?
Yeah. Well,
second or third.
So. Either he got really bad advice or he should be already gone.
Oof. All right. Anybody else? Rooster, you got a punch?
Yeah, I sort of previewed it. I'm going to punch these fucking immature fans who think it's funny and cool to act like hooligans. You know, we saw it early in the year where a bunch of fans were throwing shit on the field during a college game so that, they didn't like the call. There was such a delay from the fan interaction that the refs actually had time to overturn the call in the Texas Georgia game. Before the end of the Ohio State Michigan game, where we had the flag planting, the Ohio State fans were throwing batteries at the Michigan cheerleaders.
Take a page out of the old Philly fan play.
Yeah. You know, just shitty behavior from, you know, bunch of people who probably never stepped foot on a playing field in their lives. And, you know, the question I ask myself is like, where does all this behavior lead if it's going to become acceptable? I mean, like I say, I'm okay with players taking matters in their own hands when another team behaves completely inappropriately by doing stuff like planting the flag. But when the fans think that they can affect the outcome of a game by bad behavior, what you end up with is what happened in Guinea recently at a soccer match, where in the 82nd minute of a game that was like hosted by the military leader of Guinea, the ref gave a red card to the home team. Fans were so outraged that they started throwing rocks onto the field at the refs and the opposing players. The police responded by shooting tear gas at the fans, and all of a sudden a stampede ensued. 56 people, including children, were killed.
Oh my God.
All because of fucking fan hooliganism. And people just need to grow the hell up and understand that there's a certain code of behavior that is required if you're going to stuff 50 to 150,000 people into one space. You know, you have to coexist and you can't behave like that. So a collective punch to all these dumbasses.
Rooster, are you saying that people in the stands don't have the power to influence the outcome of a game?
Sure, they do. Like the Seattle 12th man. No problem with that. But if you think you're going to do it by throwing batteries and stones at the refs until they have to run off the field in fear for their life, and now all of a sudden, you know, the game's been delayed.
What if you're sitting at home on your couch?
Well, do whatever you want.
Do you have the ability?
If you can afford to replace a TV set every week, go for it, Bison.
Do you have the ability to affect the outcome of a game?
There's someone we know who's not on this pod that believes he has the ability to affect the outcome.
That's where you're going with that question.
Yeah, that's where we were going.
Well, you mean the guy who does the imaginary film sessions?
the 22s.
The all 22s. All right.
The guy who is currently texting us about his GM, sending us videos about his GM, Howie Roseman.
Be careful, House. We're not done with the punchable face segment yet.
Yeah.
Be careful. All right. Anybody else have a punch? Anybody got a laugh, though?
Barbecue sauce.
I got a mini lasso. It's not that good, but I'm going to give a lasso to Lando Norris for how he went through the sprint race. You know, earlier in the season, McLaren let Lando pass Oscar Piastri because he was still in the world championship hunt, and Lando got the win in a sprint race, really because Piastri pulled over and let him go by. It didn't even seem at the time to sit real well with Lando, but he was in the hunt for it, and the points meant a lot more to him than they did to Piastri. And this weekend at the sprint, Lando was in the position to return and repay the favor. Interestingly, the team orders were not to do it because George Russell was coming right behind Piastri, and they really wanted to get, you know, they're in the hunt for the Constructors' Championship, and they were going to have a 1-2. So the team was telling them, you know, more or less, don't fucking risk this, Lando. We are happy with where we are. And nevertheless, he pulled over at the last second to let Piastri go by and take the sprint win. They fortunately came out 1-2 anyway. But, you know, I'm going to give Lando a little lasso for that. That was a nice moment for him, and good team spirit. You can't see, Rooster, I think you said it. You can't exactly see Verstappen that to repay a favor to Checo, right?
But Lando was smart. He made sure to speed up and get out of the, range?
The DRS.
DRS, right? Range. So Russell wouldn't have DRS on Piastri before he pulled the move.
Yeah, but classy move. Maybe that's the reason Lando's not a world champion yet. Maybe he's a little too nice. Maybe he needs to get a little meaner, but he at least gets the lasso out of it.
Yeah.
All right, who's got a buzzer beater?
Well, my buzzer beater actually kind of tied into the F1 discussion because I don't know if you guys saw it, but Checo is out at Red Bull after the final race.
Is that official? We saw the rumors, right?
I think it's official.
Yeah.
How does Carlos Sainz feel right now? I mean, if he...
Yeah.
Waited around, he maybe could have had the second seat at Red Bull. I guess the bigger question is, does Checo go anywhere? He's 34. I mean, is he going to get another seat, or is it time for him to be the Red Bull ambassador and kind of do a Danny Ricciardo?
Well, you got a new team coming in 2026, right? So I think that's when GM Cadillac. Yeah, Cadillac GM will come in 2026. And I've seen some rumors that Danny Ric and Checo would be really good first-time drivers for the new team because of the kind of the fan followings that they both have. Now, I don't know. I mean, for Ricciardo to be out for a year, that seems pretty tough. And those guys are, you know, not exactly spring chickens.
I'm just picturing an El Dorado going around. Grand Prix track.
Yeah,
it'll be an interesting look to that car. Whatever, you know, we'll have the Cadillac logo.
I, you know, my theory is, this is just my gut. I have nothing to back this up, that you need to be a single person to be a Formula One driver, because you can be as brave as you want and not fear death. But man, once you have children, that you can't, that just goes, that leaves you. And I think that's what's happened to him. I think he's become too cautious.
You can't lose an edge in F1 because it's milliseconds that separate the winners and losers.
Yeah.
And the other part of that buzzer was the Constructors Championship's the only thing that's left in the final race. McLaren has a healthy lead over Ferrari, but if McLaren doesn't finish at least one car, you know, they could be potentially in trouble. But it looks
McLaren, it's open.
It's open, but McLaren, I think, I don't know. They just need they need points and not lose, not get DNFs.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Who else has a buzzer?
I have one, a short one. Randy Moss announced today that he's got some serious health issue going on. Yeah. And by the way, he described it sounded an awful lot like he's got prostate cancer.
What it is?
I don't know, but
it was directed to men, right? He said,
"Yeah, he said,
like,
men, you need to get checked out."
Yeah,
well, so it's got to have something to do with male health issues like that. And anyway, best wishes from the SMQBs for a full recovery.
Milk, you got one?
FYI, Wednesday is National Early Signing Day in college football, so keep an eye out. The usual suspects are probably going to have the top classes, Georgia, Bama, Ohio State. But a lot of wheeling, dealing, and NIL deals will get done.
Don't forget about Colorado, Milk.
Colorado, they
got a 5-star edge rusher already committed.
Yeah, they're still like top. They're still like 33rd or around their 30th.
There's been some serious decommits lately too, though. Watch for those.
Watch decommits.
Yeah. People, money's flowing.
There's a lot of money.
The spigot is open.
What happened in Michigan? They got Bryce Underwood, I guess, is the number one quarterback, to decommit and go to Michigan. Because who the hell is going to pay?
Cha-ching.
He's getting some sweetheart deal.
Yeah.
$5 million or
that's
more.
That's what Portnoy came out and somebody, who was it? Like some.
Yeah, no, it's Portnoy. Admitted. Yeah.
No, well, he was part of it, but somebody.
He brokered
the deal. Like the guy's getting. Yeah,
what's
getting
Portnoy's interest in Michigan? Isn't he he's a Massachusetts guy.
No, he went to Michigan. He's
did he?
Huge, yeah. Huge Michigan guy.
Still an asshole, though. Definitely.
Lots of money in college football.
Total an asshole. All right, I'm going to give you one last buzzer here as we go out here, gentlemen. 71 days to the report. That's it. That's all from us.
The SMQBs are Brian Bandwagon Pope, who hails from Dallas, Texas, and has never met a first-place team that he didn't have a personal connection to. Michael Rooster Phelan, hailing from Richmond, and who roots for teams from New York, or is it Boston? I can't remember which it was. One or the other. Also, Patrick Milk Michler from Tampa Bay. And he is still massively in love with Tom Brady and will never get over his man crush on the GOAT. Toby House Milrod, a long-suffering sports fan hailing from Philadelphia, whose Eagles team, they're still looking for another quarterback. And I am Chris Bison Nace, hailing from Washington, District of Champions. Thanks for listening.